Folks, we had a plan.
We did. And you know we're not planners.
And we're not planners. We don't believe in planning
anything.
But you
know what? As much as we're not planners, we are always here early.
We are always here early. And we love that you all listen to our show. Point of order. I'm a little confused right now because things changed in the radio station. So I am Joe Sonnenblick.
And I am Jason Bogdan. And off today, usually to my right, is Steve McGrath. He's out there working the phone lines.
Working the oil fields.
But to my right today is Linda Peralta.
It's her.
It's me. It's me.
It's me.
Linda P.
It's a me. It's a me. It's a Peralta. So we usually do start the show with a little toonski, and it was going to be Ric Flair's opening theme.
I mean, I did
because
tell you to cue
it. I know you told me to cue it up, but I didn't. I did not cue it up, and I'm sorry. This is why you always have a strong woman behind you, so you can.
So she could tell you that you're wrong.
Give her a slam in the face.
So here's
we're going to be kicked off the air.
Here's the problem, Derrick Rose, our loyal listeners. We now have a live show in front of us on Sunday mornings. Before this day, season three and whatever.
In
season three, we did not have a live show in front of us.
No.
So we were able to come in early, get the lay of the land, set up our music, argue over the song that was going to be played.
Yes.
And now we're going to get on the air a minute after we walk into the room, which, you know, is not ideal, but here we are.
No. So today I'm going to start with something that has been deemed Posse-gate. And I think that's so fucking stupid. And anything that we have a problem with in society, we put gate behind it. Though Deflategate was all right. I'm okay with that because I hate the Patriots. But if you didn't hear, Phil Jackson, in an interview with, I believe it was either Ramona Shelburne or Doris Burke or Rachel Nichols. I don't know which. No, it was Rachel Nichols. He said that LeBron James surrounded himself with a posse. A posse of fellas. And his business manager and a couple of his friends. And Phil Jackson said in a positive way that, you know, he took all of his friends from the neighborhood and brought them with him to where he had to be. Now, the word posse. I remember Allen Iverson. Yep. I remember all those guys. Posse was big back then. And I know 1999 is different than 2016. Very different. I mean, I still listen to Mace.
Except in the clothes that you wear.
Yeah, and I still listen to Mace. Don't get me wrong. I love Puff Daddy. Don't get me wrong. Diddy. Papa.
Yeah.
You know? But I did have a problem with what Phil said. But even more so, I had a problem with what Carmelo Anthony said. That, to me.
So when we talked about this the other day, you had no problem with what Phil said. You said that Phil used the word posse in his day. The posse was this, posse was that.
Yeah.
Now, so you're softening a little bit.
I'm softening.
You're softening.
Because I read the whole quote.
Just for definition's sake.
Yeah.
So technically, it's a body of men typically armed, summoned by a sheriff to enforce the law. Informally, though, is just a group of people who have a common characteristic, occupation, or purpose.
Black men.
I guess that's a common characteristic that...
But here's the thing. This is why these debates get so stupid. Do I think Phil Jackson's a racist? No. Do I think he was being racially insensitive? Not exactly. But Phil, there are microaggressions.
He's just an old white man.
There's microaggression there.
I don't think it has anything to do with race. I think it's just.
Just the word he used.
He's just an old guy
that
doesn't like the new generation taking over and not following the rules.
I mean, he hated Kobe. He hated. Like, he coached the kid and hated him. Like, absolutely despised the way Kobe loved Shaq, loved the way Shaq did everything.
I got a little honey here for you. Go ahead.
How often does a father not really particularly enjoy what his son does, yet he still does what he needs to do?
Well, I mean, they're not fathers, I'm really.
But it's, you know, it's when you're talking about an older male being taken over by a younger male. There's like that whole male dynamic.
Go ahead, talk about Melo, because I know that pissed you off.
Melo came out and did not back the man that pays him. And I understand Melo and LeBron are friends. And I get that, you know, friendship comes first before the job. But man, oh man. Phil Jackson cut your check, one. Two, believed in you enough to keep you around. I mean, many did not. Many GMs wanted you gone, and they couldn't do anything because of your salary, and you were handcuffed. And Phil Jackson gave you more money, more than you wanted, for you not to go to Chicago, okay? And you come out and say, well, I think what Phil said, I don't think he's a racist, but I think it was wrong. I could see how it's misconstrued. You just don't comment on
it. He's got to comment.
No, he doesn't.
Of course he does.
Dwayne Wade didn't.
Well, Carmelo Anthony is in this position right now where he's frustrated that he's a Knick. He wants out of New York. And these are the little things you're going to start to see. He does.
What?
He does. Where's
that coming from?
That's coming from the fact that he knows this team, and we'll get into this after, is going absolutely nowhere.
They're 5-7.
Nowhere.
They're 5-7.
They suck.
30 games. You wait 30 games.
I want to close out on Phil Jackson on this note, because this is the important note. Phil Jackson's record since he took over the Knicks, 54-122.
You mean when Quincy Acey was your starting power forward for a year and a half?
Well,
is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, he had no money. The guy had no money.
That's him.
That's him. That's him.
You know how we could have gotten
didn't
money?
Want to give him the dub.
How we could have gotten money?
How?
Trade Carmelo Anthony.
But nobody was taking that contract. There was no trade available.
So we gave him a stupid contract one time around, or we took on his contract, right, when we got in the trade. And then we went and gave him one that nobody's going to want anyway.
The guy is averaging 25-6-6.
Great. It's great.
The man is leading your team.
He's
having the best shooting year of his career.
You don't think he's disappointed he's in New York right now and not going to win a title?
What I think he's disappointed in is that he sees that Kristaps Porzingis is now his team.
Yeah,
It's now his team.
When the offense runs through Porzingis, they are much more dynamic. They're scoring a lot more.
But it can't run through Porzingis every game because, one, the league's going to catch on to that. Two, Porzingis has really bad shooting nights. Melo has had one bad shooting night in 12 games. Porzingis has had 4 or 5.
12 games is a really small number. We've seen Carmelo go on these really bad slumps.
When? You mean last year when he averaged 28-7?
No,
do you mean that?
There was a few games there that he didn't.
And the year before where he blew out his knee and still tried to play through it.
And then I'll never forgive him for playing in the All-Star game.
I know, you'll never forgive him for playing in the All-Star game the way I won't forgive Daniel Murphy for missing opening day for his fucking kid.
Fair.
You could fuck your wife all you want and have as many kids as you want. You know? You're a Catholic. You don't believe in birth control anyway, you fuck.
They are expensive.
Well, he's got millions.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your weekly. If the Mets had Daniel Murphy,
yeah,
we probably would have won the World Series. Yeah,
well,
this
clearly
year.
We wouldn't have. Clearly, we wouldn't.
Tell
have.
The truth.
Wow, Will, he can't stay in a room. You can't keep Will Smith down. He just goes.
So
he goes where the. That's the guy that goes where the money is.
The point is that Phil Jackson is not necessarily a racist.
No,
this is what we have to talk about right now. You know, like in the NBA, is this it right now?
No, we can also talk about my prediction coming true. Russell Westbrook's going to win the MVP.
Sure.
Man, nobody, everybody on this show told me I was out of my mind.
I said that too. I said Russell Westbrook. I agreed with Steve that a dark horse could be Kyrie Irving. And now people are going to get on me for calling him a dark horse.
Yeah, you can't.
Here we go.
A Palomino.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook in 11 of 12 games is averaging a triple-double.
Yeah, but
that's sick.
But he had to go to that because once you remove Durant.
You want to talk about a bad team? The Thunder are bad.
Yeah.
They're not a good team. Look, what's their record, Jay? You got the paper. What's their record?
Hold on.
I mean, we're doing this the old way, flipping pages.
For those loyal listeners who don't know, I bring the paper
to the
show
every Sunday. Sunday. Yeah.
Every Sunday.
Well, he reads the paper every day.
I do read the paper every day. What are you going to do?
He takes the daily news.
What are we looking at?
The Thunder's record.
The Thunder, oh boy.
They are 8-5.
8-5.
Okay. The Thunder are 8-5?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know who's a team not a lot of people are given credit to yet? I think they deserve a little more credit. The Hawks. Well, that's a good team. See, everybody
does this
that.
Every
See,
year.
Everybody does that.
But they were in. They won the East last year. Does nobody remember that? They won the East.
Yeah. They're a good team.
And they got bounced out of the first round like they always do.
Okay.
They're the Cincinnati Bengals of football.
Oof.
That's what they are. I mean, that's really what they are. I mean, Paul Millsap, never going to be a superstar. He's almost a top-tier player. Almost. And what they did with Al Horford, that was ridiculous. How do you get rid of Al Horford? You send him to Boston to kill us. How do you do that? I mean, Dwight Howard... I like that song.
Dwight Howard, he's found a home there.
I like that song. Well, he's home.
Well, he's in a good place,
yeah,
too.
He's home. And I think Dwight Howard's averaging a double-double this year, I believe. 17 and 11. He's having one of the better years of his career. And when he went back to L.A., I believe the Lakers beat the Hawks that game. And there's another team nobody's talking about. Lakers? Boy, the Lakers are good.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah, and I think they're going to sustain.
What are they, 6-6?
They are 7-6.
7-6. The Lakers last year at this time were what? 1-12? 2-11? It's Kobe.
Yeah.
The Kobe effect.
He
want to talk about handcuffing.
Yeah.
Whoa. D'Angelo Russell, going to be a superstar.
Yeah.
Julius Randle is a superstar. I don't believe Timofey Mozgov. Everybody says Timofey Mozgov is going to have a bounce back to his career in L.A. That guy sucks. And I'm so glad he left.
He was pretty good last year.
Yeah but
he, really good year last
well,
year.
Well, he's averaging like 7-4 now. He just sucks. Speaking of sucking, Joakim Noah sort of sucks.
Well.
I'm very annoyed. It's again the fact that I think the Hoiberg effect and the Thibodeau effect are coming and fucking up this guy's legs, man, because he's not running like he used to.
But he is – how old is he?
31.
31?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Melo's 31.
Yeah.
But he can move.
Yeah, no, he can move.
And Derrick Rose is what, 28, 29?
Yeah, he's under 30.
Yeah, he can move, man. You got a team of guys that can move.
We agree on this, on the Knicks. They are much more exciting to watch.
And they're fast.
They're fast. They're exciting. But that does not make a win. You know, just because they're more exciting doesn't make them a better team. You understand what I'm saying?
It makes them better to watch. It doesn't make them better. I understand what you're saying. But
you see a future with this.
You do see a future. But 5-7 is – last year, what were we at this time? 3-8?
But do you really see a future with this team?
Yes.
Where?
Where?
Besides Porzingis. You don't know what you're going to get from Derrick Rose is here for a year.
Oh, they're re-signing Derrick Rose.
Carmelo's going to be a year older if he's still a Knick at the end of this year.
He's going to be a Knick at the end of this year.
You know, Brandon Jennings. Brandon Jennings is the new J.R. Smith.
You see what Brandon Jennings said? You see what Brandon Jennings said? He called out the team already. Brandon Jennings called out the team. He said, we're the New York Knicks, and we have it across our chest, and people want to come in here and beat us, and we can't lose to teams like the Washington Wizards, which is true. But guess what, buddy? When you're 4-14 against the Washington Wizards, when you're just you, I can't believe he fooled me. I was fooled by Brandon Jennings. The man's a chucker.
Yes,
he chucks.
He is the new J.R. Smith. He's got J.R. Smith's attitude and he's got his shooting ability.
Well, J.R. Smith went to Cleveland and LeBron set him straight pretty quick.
Yeah,
well, there's also nothing to do.
Well, that's leadership. That and I don't. I'm not. Again, you're gonna say I'm bashing Melo. Melo's not that guy, right? Melo is. It's sort of like David Wright. Melo's never gonna call that meeting and tell him take your head out of your ass. Stop chucking it up.
David Wright threw somebody's food out.
Well, it's true.
All right,
but
David
wasn't by
David,
himself.
David Wright's a leader. David Wright's a leader.
I think Harvey did that too, with him.
Matt Harvey's a dickhead. I think Matt Harvey's just a dickhead.
All right.
that's what I think on that little note. One of the things I want to talk about with the Knicks is how great Courtney Lee is defensively and how awful he is offensively. I don't know what happened to Courtney. I mean, Courtney Lee was never a guy that was going to score you a ton of points.
No, but we were expecting a three ball from Courtney Lee.
A lot more of the three ball. But Justin Holliday has taken over that role and done it well. And I told you. I watched a couple of games last year with him on Chicago. And while a lot of people would have wanted Tony Snell in that deal, Tony Snell's not having a good year. Justin Holliday, he's your answer. He could be your answer. Once they get him acclimated to playing the two guard, because he's a small forward, once they get him acclimated to playing the two guard, you can move Courtney Lee out of the starting lineup and have Justin Holliday in the starting lineup. And I think that's going to happen before the All-Star break. That is my bold prediction for the New York Knicks. Steve had a bold prediction. He said that Ahmed Rosario would be the starting shortstop of the New York Mets
next
year.
All right, hold on. Before we get to the Mets, I want to tell you who's having a great year for the Knicks.
Tell me.
Kyle O'Quinn.
Woo!
Your favorite. Kyle O'Quinn contributing.
He is. He stepped up.
This year
he
in a great up. Way. So,
he
you know, we've
up.
Bashed him before, but Kyle O'Quinn stepping up.
Okay, the last 6 or 7 games, the guy stepped up. Let me tell you, doesn't step up. Lance Thomas.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I hate him.
The experiment's over.
I hate him. I don't understand. He comes on the floor for a minute, breaks his back. Like, I don't understand. You're talking about injury-prone people and guys that can't shoot. Lance Thomas is a piece of shit. I mean, with Langston Galloway, you should have just sent him to New Orleans, too. I don't understand.
Well, and this is my other weekly. You know, Jimmy Fredette is lighting it up over there in China.
Good. Yeah. It's good.
50 points a game.
Speaking of the Asian countries, speaking of Asia, Eric Campbell of the New York Mets is now part of the Henshin Tigers.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Soup has become ramen.
Yeah.
Good.
Miso-gun.
Go over. Yeah, miso-san. Go over there, Eric. I bet you won't hit over the Mendoza line over there either. So that's okay. Jim Henderson is also gone.
Henderson's gone?
Henderson's gone, yeah. They got rid of him.
So go back to Steve's bold prediction.
Yeah, Steve's bold prediction is Ahmed Rosario is going to be the starting shortstop for the New York Mets. Now, Asdrubal Cabrera had his best year ever in the history of his career. And you also have Jose Reyes. And you also have Wilmer Flores. Now you have a problem. Somebody's expendable.
Well, here's the other problem. Neil Walker decided to take us to the bank and the cleaners at once.
I mean, Dave, are you listening? Dave, I hope you're listening. Tony, if you're listening, tell Dave to listen because he thinks that Neil Walker coming back for $17.2 million is fine and dandy like cotton candy.
Neil Walker coming back is fine and dandy.
Yeah, for $9.5 million, $11 million.
$9-10 million.
I'll go as high as 12. $17.2 million for a guy with a hinky back?
Nah. It's not worth it, but it adds to the confusion.
It does.
Well, but here's the thing. You're assuming we have a third baseman. I don't think the Mets are. So I think they're saying David Wright is a provisional player at this point. You don't know what you're going to get
from
him.
You think they're going to platoon him?
I think he might have to be platooned.
So you think Reyes starts at third again?
I don't know if Reyes is never going to start over David Wright, at least not publicly, right? They're not going to say that. But let's say, well, David Wright's not going to retire, so your exterminator, you know, I think he was wrong.
Charlie Exterminator.
Yeah, Chalucci.
Who also told me the day after Trump was elected, decency's been brought back to America, so I can't sit with you anymore, Charlie, at the table of thieves.
I'm sorry that I missed the post-election show here.
It was...
I
was the minority. I was the one white man in the room, and I felt good about it.
Comfortable.
I was watching my wallet.
I've been watching my father. I hope they're not going to come round him up.
Chazza, run. Run, Chazza.
So we might, you know, Reyes, Flores, these guys are going to need to play third. David Wright's not going to play a whole season.
No.
I think Steve, when he said Rosario was going to start it short, I think he forgot that Cabrera had another year.
It's also excitement. Because we do want to see Ahmed Rosario. Don't get me wrong. We want to. But now that Eric Campbell is gone, there is a place for Ahmed Rosario on the bench.
That's Wilmer Flores' spot.
Wilmer Flores needs to be traded for pitching.
Yeah, agreed. And I think he will be this offseason.
I think he's going to get relief.
A bullpen piece.
Yeah, you get a nice bullpen piece. Did you see that they're talking to Jorge De La Rosa?
I did not.
I don't want that person.
Nah, he's not very
5.12
good.
5.12 ERA.
Yeah. No.
I don't want that guy.
I'd take Pedro Strop if he was available from the old Cubbies.
Listen, the only Cub I want is Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, he's good.
That's the only Cub I could see going anywhere. I mean,
well, they're not trading anyone.
Fowler's gone.
Oh, well, yeah.
Fowler's going to be gone. And now that Cespedes.
I don't want to hear it.
Officially, I don't want Fowler.
I don't want Fowler.
I don't want Fowler. That's going to be their plan B.
Well, I heard that it's Fowler or there was somebody else out
there
as their backup. Batista. Okay, fine. I'll take a Batista. The problem with the Batista is he's like 36, right?
37.
So, again, it's a 1 or 2 year rental. I like Dexter Fowler, but don't tell me he's Yoan Cespedes' replacement.
I'm not going to lie to you. I like this new layout that we have here.
Yeah,
I like this.
I do too.
This is much better.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I agree with you.
We have a new layout in the studio.
Yeah. I can really look around now, you know, and I can, if Steve sits across from me, I could spit right in his face. Yeah. So,
no. And then I could give both of them glaring looks from this angle.
Yeah. No, Joey Bats, you can't, I'm not giving him $18 million.
No.
I'm not giving him $18 million.
Somebody will.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody will.
You know who.
So, who? Listen, I said many weeks ago, Cespedes could be a Yankee.
They don't want him.
I'm not ruling that
out. They don't want him.
Oh, come on. How many times have we seen that?
I don't think. I really.
Remember when the New York Jets said, we have no interest in Brett Favre, we're not interested in Brett Favre, and then the next day they said, here's Brett Favre of the New York Jets.
I was clapping and screaming outside of their OB blood. That was so fun.
This is a different thing going on. We got rid of Brian McCann for two pitching prospects. We're rebuilding.
Can you look up those kids and their numbers? Because I don't know who they are.
So I will say right now, I am so excited for this offseason as a New York fan to watch what the Yankees do.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
They're going to pull off some crazy shit.
Yeah.
I saw this crazy article the other day about them getting Mike Trout.
Oh, I saw bring Beltran back.
Well, I saw that. Good, bring him back.
Yeah,
that's
bring
great.
Him back. Yeah, that's smart. Good. That's 17.
Yeah.
17 mil.
He's going to pull his hamstring getting off the plane.
Yeah.
Bring
Mark Teixeira's ghost back, too, would you?
Well, I think Jeter's a free agent.
I think so, too.
I hear
Thurman Munson's not doing anything these days.
Corey Lytle?
Yeah. Hideki's just hanging around.
Such a nasty woman.
You're a puppet.
I think
I don't even know what they're talking about.
Hideki Arabu, who hung himself, is still hanging around.
Corey Lytle blew up in a plane.
Corey Lytle, ISIS, maybe. Bigly ISIS.
Corey Lytle's dead. Bigly.
Bigly.
There was an article about the Yankees getting Trout. They have the prospects to get him, but there's no way the Angels would ever trade Mike Trout.
Are you mad that he won MVP?
No.
Because I forget who was making this argument. It was Lebatard.
What do you want, Gary Sanchez?
No. Lebatard said, is he really the most valuable player? It's the war. No, it's Stugatz. It's the war award. It's not the most valuable player award in their eyes because they lost, 90 games, right? So if he had not been there, they would have lost 97 games.
Yeah, see, I'm not a big... I don't think you have to be on a winning team to win MVP. I get it.
I understand
I
think Mike Trout well deserved the MVP.
I think it's a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
Because it's got to go to the best player in each league. That's the way I look at it. Most valuable is such a shifty term.
And Chris Bryant had a great year. Don't get me wrong. I really believe he won because the Cubs won the World Series. Nolan Arenado was the most valuable player in the National League.
See, I disagree, and only because of the Coors Field effect. You know, I just think that his numbers, he admitted that too, that he probably lost because of Coors Field. And guy like Chris Bryant is helped by the fact that they were so good this whole year.
Yeah.
You know, they vote before the playoffs, so it has nothing to do with the playoffs. But I think Chris Bryant is like the darling of baseball. I don't get it. But, everybody loves him.
I think Rizzo's a better player than Chris Bryant. I like Rizzo a lot.
No, I don't think so.
No?
No, I think Chris Bryant's the more complete player. The Cubs are stacked.
They are stacked. It's all about their pitching. Can their pitching hold up? And can Joe Madden not ruin it next year? I mean, because he really tried.
Yeah.
He tried very hard to ruin it.
Professor Madden.
Professor Madden and the disembodied poetics of baseball.
So, the Mets, it's an interesting offseason because it's hard to say that this team is going to be better next year. We go, well, all their pitchers will be back.
Yeah.
Fine. But you're gonna lose your best hitter.
We're
kind of right back where we were last year.
And we don't have Murph.
And you don't have Murph. And you don't have a catcher who's gonna hit, right? Because here we go.
That's
again.
That's why I wanted McCann.
Yeah.
That's why
I would take McCann.
And people are like looking at me like I'm sideways. Fuck. Who hits? Yeah, Travis Dunno hit 4 home runs. Who hits for your team? You're gonna go with Plawecki? I'll give him one more year, and then that's it.
I'll give him another year as a backup.
That's it. No, if you're going down with someone, I'd rather go down with Plawecki than Darnold because I've seen what Travis Darnold can do. He is Juan Centeno with lighter skin.
Well, then we need to trade him.
I agree. They should have traded him during the deadline.
Trade Mello and Darnold together.
Get him. Get that posse together.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sadly, we lost the Met this past week. Bartolo.
Yeah.
That hurt my heart.
Yeah.
I love him. And Dave, I still hope you're listening. Tony, if Dave's not listening, tell Dave to listen.
What is he, his fucking secretary?
Well, Tony's in direct contact with Dave 24/7. Listen, Dave, you're telling me I don't understand the hoopla with Bartolo Colon? You lost, man. They got won 44 games in 3 hits.
All right. Let's look at his numbers. I will
and
tell
he,
you
and
before
he's talking
we
about run support.
Before we talk about numbers, because I'm an ERA guy, right? I don't run support. Whatever. I like to look at individual what he did on the mound. Okay. Last year he was 15-8 with an ERA of 3.43.
Amazing.
That's fantastic.
That's amazing.
In the modern era, they say if you're under 4, you're very good. Right. 191 innings pitched. So he almost got you to 200 innings. That's great.
That's amazing.
It's great.
This guy's 43.
Well, here's the problem, though. And this is
a lot
why.
Of hits.
This
a lot
is
of
why,
runs.
No, that's why I don't give him $12.5 million.
Tell me.
He's not going to do it again. He's not going to
do it again.
We
said that last year.
No. I've always been a big Bartolo guy. I do not think he does it again.
I don't know about
we'll
that,
see.
Man.
We'll see.
I really don't know about that.
I think New York energized him in a way where he was able to put out that performance. We've said this before. There are nights where Bartolo doesn't have it, and he just flips the ball in the air, and he says, I don't have it. I'm just going to throw. I'm throwing up a stinker tonight.
Yeah.
5 or 6 runs, and then he's out in 3 innings.
It's a Bartolo night. You know you're going to get a Bartolo night.
But I think New York took a lot of those Bartolo nights away because he was here. I don't see that happening in Atlanta.
That's got to be my father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about Bartolo Colon. And when the Mets do some really stupid things, not to be, you know, confused about all the smart things they've done in the past, because they really haven't done many smart things in the past. But when you talk about Bartolo Colon, and then you say, okay, it's all over. I mean, it might be. Done. It might be. Okay, it might be. Here's the thing. Now, you don't sign Cespedes, right? And you get rid of Bartolo Colon. Guess what? You suck. You know? You suck. Your team now sucks. And it's these little things that they've done in the past where I could have or I should have done this or I should have done that, and they don't do it. They don't resign their best pitcher on their pitching staff. He was their best pitcher on their pitching staff, a guy who anchored that team, and they're not going to have the decency to bring him back. Compound that with that clown you got sitting in the dugout with his multifaceted colored pens to drive anybody crazy. I fucking hate their guts. Thank you.
A short call. We appreciate that. We appreciate that. I don't hate their guts.
Here's the thing. Okay, I get it. He's
$12.5 million.
It's a lot of money. Ronnie's, I understand.
Ronnie's not wrong, but here's the thing. If you got a bucket of money and you have to distribute it to the best players available, $12.5 million on top of Neil Walker fleecing you for 17.2.
Fleecing.
That's a lot of money that's already gone.
No, I wouldn't. I love Bartolo, but for 12.5, good for him for getting that cash.
I was shocked that he got that deal.
Linda, yeah. Linda, give me the stat you gave me last week about Bartolo and Turner Field.
Okay,
I remember it. So Bartolo's opening game, he pitched at Turner Field. He's now going to pitch, probably second or third in that rotation in the new Braves ballpark. Bartolo Colon outlasted Turner Field.
Yeah, it's true.
That's wild.
Yep.
That's
meaning
wild.
That means that he was pitching when it opened, yeah, and he'll be pitching when it closed.
Yeah, it's amazing.
For those of you who don't know what outlasted
20 years.
Yeah.
He beat Turner
Field.
But
also, what kind of money do they have down here every 20 years to build a new fucking ballpark?
Well, they built it in, I mean, it's just a pretty shitty part of town they built that first ballpark in. And a second ballpark is going to be even a shittier part of town.
Saying a lot of posse out
saying
there?
Saying a lot of, yeah. Listen. Listen.
You're a puppet.
You're nasty one.
I'll go check it out during the summer.
Are you going to go?
I'm going
to
go.
I'll go. Anywho.
Todd. Why did you?
Todd down there.
I'm not going. So Bartolo leaving puts a question mark, because I would rather have Seth Lugo come out of the pen and Selman your five.
Who's your starting rotation? Harvey?
No. Noah?
No particular. Yeah.
Harvey, Noah.
DeGrom.
Matts, Selman.
Wheeler.
Gone.
Trade him. No, but he's prospectively, he will be here.
Well, right? Then make him a spot starter out of the pen to bring. Because you've seen Selman. The guy can move the ball.
So can Lugo, right? But what I'm saying is,
Lugo could be a long relief guy.
You got seven starting pitchers who are all pretty damn good.
Well, somebody's got to go.
Some of them excellent.
Somebody's got
to
go.
But this furthers my point. You're going to give $12.5 million to Bartolo Colon when you have seven.
I was initially upset about it, and then I thought about it a little bit, and I sat and ruminated on it, and said, "Okay, I understand. He went and got the money. I don't even think the Mets offered him a deal.
They did. Nobody said that they did.
Yeah,
so.
that would have came out if they did. If they offered him anything, it would have came out.
Yeah.
So I mean, am I okay with it? No, I'm gonna miss him.
No,
I'm gonna miss him.
I think it was he was such a part of the organization that he probably went to Sandy and said, "Look. You want me here?" And Sandy said, "We want you here, but we kind of got nothing for you."
Yeah.
So it's okay, you know?
And I think Bartolo, he's not one of those guys that's going to be jaded about it.
No.
He's not going to be upset. He knows he's in the winter of his career. And he also knows that, boy, he probably had the three best years of his time.
The winter of his career. This man is in the post-winter of his career.
Because in the apocalypse of his career, the nuclear bombast of his career.
Now is the winter of our discontent.
But I do want to thank you. I thank you for your 3 years, and it was a lot of fun. And that home run, I'll never forget that home run call. I'll never forget what you did for the organization. I'll never forget you in the playoffs. I always went to see your pitch. There was no pitcher I wanted to see pitch more in that rotation. And that should say something about Bartolo Colon. I wanted to see him more than I wanted to see Noah.
I loved going to see Bartolo.
Because it was fun.
I never wanted to see him more than Noah, but I will tell you that I was sometimes more confident
in
that
Bartolo
was gonna get the job done.
Yeah, he might give you a jalopy game, but he'll give you four great ones after that.
But then you know at the very beginning of that game, it's one of those nights.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when you get six hits in the first two innings, you understand what's happening.
Yeah.
You understand. But, he had so much fun. He loves the game. And he's one of the guys, like, Noah loves the game. You can see Noah loves the game. But I don't know if Noah's necessarily having fun.
Well, no, I think Noah has he has fun in a different way.
Yeah,
he's sadistic.
And that sadism showed when he threw over the head of D. Gordon, right? Was it D. Gordon?
No, it wasn't.
Who was the leadoff hitter? Lorenzo Cain?
Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah, he showed that sadism but it's a fun sort of way. But
if they got a problem, meet me at 50 feet 6 inches.
60 feet 6 inches.
Bartolo, for a former pitcher.
Yes. Thanks. Well, you've pitched in the minors. Yeah. Bring it in 10 feet for you. Yeah. But Bartolo was a lot of fun and always had a smile on his face and was, I mean.
And what's important, I think, what I think a lot of the young Mets pitchers took from him is that when you saw him throw out a stinker,
come right back
the next game and
right
pitch
back.
Brilliantly.
That's it.
So.
And I'm gonna miss your fun,
yeah,
man.
True.
That's. I know. I don't think I ever remember a player on my team having more fun than Bartolo Colon.
No, I thought you were going to say that, but
Jose?
Pedro.
Pedro had fun.
When Pedro pitched, it was a party at Shea Stadium.
Yeah, that was true.
A lot of fun.
You bring your Pepsi can, you see Pedro.
When the sprinkler went off and he was dancing in the water on the mound.
That's true. Pedro and Bartolo, two guys that had the most fun, I feel like, in baseball for us.
Can you say the dial-in number?
718-928-9732. Is that Healy?
That's my brother.
Antonio's going to call?
I think so.
What does he want to call about? He doesn't watch sports.
No.
9732.
They're into aquatics in his apartment. Water sports.
Water sports?
Pedro was fake fun. He was a fake guy.
Fake fun.
Bartolo was just being footloose and fancy free. Pedro always had an agenda. Some people have agendas. Pedro had an agenda. Bartolo just.
You gotta be the best
Bartolo.
Pitcher I've ever
yeah,
seen.
But what was the agenda?
What was the agenda?
What
was the agenda?
The agenda was that he was still at the top of his career. Okay? I'm looking for a big word. Can't find one.
Okay.
But
the apex.
Pedro, the apex. And he wasn't. He was good.
Who, Pedro?
First 2 years he got here, he was rock solid. Rock solid. But it was phony fucking nonsense. Look, man, when you hit an old man, look, I'm no Don Zimmer fan. When you lay down an old man, that says a lot about your character. So don't give me this bullshit about him. Oh, it's a party time with Pedro. Man, clock a fucking 82-year-old fat guy. All right, so that's a bunch of bullshit.
Okay.
Except the Bartolo. I don't think Bartolo has that in him. He might. I don't know. But one thing, I love Bartolo.
Okay.
I personally love the guy. The guy, and you know what? Like you just said, you're taking the fun away from a team that desperately.
Yeah, but
needs
I'd rather have the $12.5 million. I'd rather have the $12.5 million. I'd rather have. Yeah. I'd rather have the 12 and a half. Did you hear what the man? Did you hear what he just said? You just paid Neil Walker $17.2 million. You cannot pay Bartolo. Well, he accepted the offer. What can you do?
Why wouldn't he?
That's what I said.
Why don't you defer $5 million to Bartolo and give him $13 million?
Because it's a qualifying offer. That's what the every qualifying offer in baseball is $17.2 million this year. You can't defer.
Every offer?
Yes.
I mean, they would have to offer every baseball player.
Yes.
So that's the MLB sets that. So if you want to offer somebody a qualifying offer, everybody's getting 17.2. If you don't make them the offer and they sign somewhere else, you don't get the draft pick. So if we made him the offer and he rejected it and signed somewhere else, we would have gotten a draft pick for it. But, you know, that's the risk you take. So God willing, Murph should have took his offer from the Mets.
Yeah, $15.8 million. You have a good day. Okay. I mean,
I get his point about Pedro that I think, Ronnie, what you were getting at there is that Pedro was at the end of his career, so he's making up for what he lacked in talent and fun. I get that.
What was Pedro's 4 years as a Met? Look that up, please.
I understand what he's saying. I just don't agree because if you look at his whole career, he was like that. And let me tell you something about Don Zimmer. The fuck are you to charge at Pedro Martinez?
I would have fucking kicked him in the head while he was down. How about that? I would have scrambled his fucking old fat fuck brains. That piece of shit. Fuck him.
Andrew's a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, good. Don't come at the greatest pitcher in baseball who you know has a temper, one, and I'm sure he said something to him. And first of all, Pedro took it easy on him. Because if Pedro wanted to, well, he could have fucked
Pedro,
him up.
He threw him aside.
Yeah.
He didn't slug
him
in the
slam
face.
He didn't slam him. If this was the Old West, he would have stepped on his brain.
Speaking of slamming, in about 10 minutes, we're going to get to our top 10 wrestlers of all time.
Goddamn fucking Don Zim. I hope he's burning in hell, that old Irish prick. Fuck him. I hate Don Zimmer. One of the, who just sat there, that fat toad fuck, didn't do anything. One guy picked his nose, and one guy was Jabba the Hutt. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the rings came out.
Yeah, the rings, the rings.
Yeah, buy your championships. Go ahead. Go ahead, just shut up and read the goddamn thing.
Read that thing. Anyway, 15 and 8.
Yeah.
What year is this?
This is 2005.
Wow, was that? Oh, yeah, right. It was 2005, 2007.
I know. But I can't see now.
Oh, nobody can hear you.
It's okay.
ERA is 282.
Oh, no, I don't care about the
ratings.
ERA. Give me the win loss.
9-8 in 2006.
Yeah. No, I won ERA.
With a 4.48 ERA.
He was injured. He was injured that year.
Good.
2007, he won you 3, lost you 1 with a 2.57 ERA.
And then he was gone.
Yeah. No, 2008. 5-6 with a 5.61 ERA. Lovely.
Not very
great.
Good.
Okay.
Not very good.
How do you do against you in the ALCS?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Daddy.
Well, there you go.
Oh, because that made you so much better that year.
Not you.
There's no need to
not
talk.
Me.
No need to talk football.
Well, we have to talk football. But one of the things I want. Well, there is one thing we have to talk about in football. One very small
that
situation.
The Giants are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and they're going to get knocked out in the first round by the Redskins. Don't worry about
that.
Right. Don't worry about that.
All right.
Anywho. Oh, my God. Attorney's got his phones off. What do you want?
Sounds like a lot of fun to me, that career.
Thanks a lot.
Experimental.
I've had enough.
Thanks,
we're cutting the line.
Shouldn't be wasting his minutes on this.
Yeah, don't waste your minutes. Go out and enjoy the day. It's beautiful outside.
It's freezing out.
No, it's beautiful outside. Nice. Well, don't wear a shirt, Dad. Listen. Oh, my God. Really getting annoying.
Hello?
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 Hello? Yeah,
Anthony.
Come on.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, guys. First time listening. I'm loving the show so far.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan. Joseph, that passion in your voice about baseball, man, I really hope you bring that to the bedroom.
I'm silent but deadly, as they say.
Oh, man. All right, guys. And have a good day.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. That was actually better than my father's call.
He's a big sports guy.
Bigly, you're a puppet.
He's a puppet.
So the one thing I want to talk about is what Bowles said, who's not going to be my coach next year. I'm resigned to the fact that this is it. So what Bowles said was that he doesn't want to name a starting quarterback for the rest of the season. The Jets have a bye this week. So he doesn't want to name a starting quarterback for the rest of the season because if he names Bryce Petty the starting quarterback, he might lose the locker room. You just lost the locker room, idiot. You just lost it by saying that, you stupid fuck. Just shut up.
I am shocked at the level of dysfunction.
I'm not.
That Todd Bowles.
This is not even that dysfunctional.
That Todd Bowles has allowed. I did not see Todd Bowles as this kind of a guy.
He's not ready to be a head coach.
No, he's not.
He's got to go back
or
to
maybe,
being a defensive
maybe
coordinator.
Maybe not in New York.
No, you know? He's not ready to be a head coach.
So.
No.
No.
Mm-mm. I mean, it's being proven. Like, remember when everybody told me that Joe Philbin was the next answer for the Miami Dolphins? Where's he?
Well, he doesn't host that morning show anymore.
No. He's bonkers, bongos.
I tell you, though, because we got to get to picks for the week.
Yeah, and our wrestlers. Yeah, but
we got to get the wrestlers.
I just want to say that I do believe that Todd Bowles is gone, and if Woody Johnson has one brain in his head, a big brain in your head, go after Mike McCarthy, please. The Packers are going to fire him this year.
Which is crazy.
Why? They stink.
They stink.
Bring me an offensive-minded coach. All you've done is have defensive-minded coaches ever since Al Groh. Please, please bring me Mike McCarthy.
And Tony Romo.
We'll get to that next week. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why next week. But we're going to do this first.
I'll tell you why I think Colin Kaepernick might be a Jet next week, too. But anyway.
Okay. We'll do that, too. we're wrestling fans. Well, I used to love old school wrestling. I don't watch any wrestling now. All right, and the whole lead into the show is going to be Ric Flair's theme song to set up our 10 favorite wrestlers of all time. I've been watching a lot of What Culture Wrestling on YouTube, and if you guys enjoy old school wrestling and old stories about wrestling and all that, check out What Culture Wrestling, because it is really fucking great.
They're good. Yeah.
They're really good, and they know what they're talking about. It's not bullshit. They're funny. What?
I'm going to go take a nap.
No, it's not going to be long-winded. It's just going to be short, and we're going to tell you why. And I'm going to let Jay, we'll go 10 to 1.
Yeah.
And we'll just go back and forth, and I'll let Jay start.
All right, I'll start. My number 10 of all time, the bad guy. Razor Ramon.
I couldn't put him on my list.
I put him on my list. Because I'm thinking about who I loved.
Are you thinking about character too, or are you thinking about the?
No, character. I'm going character.
Are you going character?
I'm going character ring work. I'm going ring work. Razor Ramon for me as a kid was the total package. I believe that character. I love that character. Scott Hall is such a human piece of shit.
Well, good he turned his life around.
Well, he didn't. He's relapsed.
Oh, boo.
So, but his character, his matches, I loved him. So I'm going to go number 10.
Okay. My number 10 is one that I don't know if a lot of people remember this guy on WCW who did not get the shine that he deserved, Alex Wright.
Ugh.
I loved Alex Wright.
Wow.
I really enjoyed. He's the suplex machine,
yeah,
man.
Well, you really dug up a pile of shit.
That's my number 10.
All right, number 10.
I liked his whole demeanor. I liked the dance. I enjoyed that very much. It was very, very good in a time when WCW was very, very bad. So I like Alex Wright as my number 10.
So this is tough because I love all these guys. And, you know, when you start ranking guys, you know, somebody's going to be pissed off. Number 9, I'm going to go Sting. Okay. Wasn't a huge WCW guy.
Okay.
I loved Sting.
Okay.
You know, and Sting reinvented himself through the years in so many different types of ways that I just thought he was great. I would always get excited, and then when he would come down with the bat, that got me really excited.
Yeah, I enjoyed that very much.
Sting finally came to the WWE a couple of years ago. I went nuts. So Sting, number 9 on my list.
My number 9 is the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Randy Savage could do no wrong. Maybe the best promo man in the history of wrestling. Yep. Cup of coffee, Mean Gene. Cup of coffee in the big time. So fucking good. And the flying elbow drop. I realized later what a piece of shit Macho Man was outside of the ring. But, man, when I was a kid, I used to try to perfect that flying elbow drop from the couch.
And when him and Miss Elizabeth got back together...
It was like a story.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I watch that. And I still cry when he's holding her on, you know, in the ring on his shoulder. And there's that person who's wearing like a raincoat in the arena crying. so random. But, he's on my list, but I'll get there.
Number 8.
Number 8, I'm going, again, this is tough, the numbers, but I'm going to go the game, Triple H, at number 8. One of the all-time greats. Started out as a blue blood. And then really, you know, got into DX and then became this game. Still going. Here's why I love Triple H. He's one of the first guys in wrestling who, you know, people say, oh, wrestling's fake. You look at Triple H and you go, you know what? He could probably kick my ass.
Yeah.
Chiseled anatomy. He was the total package in the ring. Great on the mic. He could be a great heel. He could be a great face. He's a beast of a human being. So I go with Triple H.
My number 8 is the Ultimate Warrior.
You know,
because of his in-ring stuff, because he stunk.
Yeah.
He was a terrible wrestler, and he refused to job to a lot of people. My number 8 is because of just based on his promos, his insane love of literature, poetry, and he was a very smart man who really believed that he could see the future. He was also a terrible, terrible racist.
Yeah, he's also
terrible.
I mean, and I didn't put him on my list because I couldn't because he was so bad in the ring.
So bad.
But so exciting and just a shame, you know.
But when you heard that music, man, you knew something good was coming down the aisle.
Yeah, no, it's true. And you knew there was about, you know, a minute and a half of exciting ring entertainment coming.
And then when they repackaged him in WCW, it was like my heart fell apart.
Well, and then so did his.
Yeah,
so,
well, right the
day
after.
And that's a terrible story. I mean, he inducted to the Hall of Fame, comes back to Raw, And then I think he passed away that night or the next day.
The next day in a parking lot, yeah.
So, you know, terrible.
Number seven,
I got to go with John Cena.
Okay.
I'm a huge John Cena fan, and those of you who know me and were probably listening, John Cena at number seven? Yeah, because he's not one of the all-time greats. He is, but he's not going, you know, number five. He's not going 5-1 on my list. John Cena was one of the first guys who captured me in the way that Shawn Michaels did when I was a kid. I believed in John Cena like I believed in Shawn Michaels, which it's me and all the kids in the world who feel that way. You could say he's not great in the ring. I think he's gotten better over the years. But and people hate when I say this. The man is such an amazing human being. He's granted the most wishes of anybody in the history of the Make-A-Wish Foundation, by and large, like over 300 wishes. I just believe in the man. I believe in the character. He's my guy.
My number seven is Mr. Perfect. I enjoyed Kurt Hennig. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed everything the man did. Even when it was just Kurt Hennig, I enjoyed that very much. But Mr. Perfect, the Perfect Plex, I mean, everything the man did was so great. And it's sad his life had to come to an end tragically.
His vignettes were great.
Yeah. He
would throw himself touchdown passes.
Yeah,
he gave a great promo. Yeah.
He gave a great promo. That's why he's my number seven. Might have to move this along a little bit.
Yeah, well, you can't get me started on
wrestling. I know, but let's keep it shorter.
Okay, all right. Oh, shorter. Okay.
Six,
Macho Man. Mm. Not much more I could say. It's Macho Man.
Yeah.
Right.
My number six is Shawn Michaels. Clearly, the heartbreaker. Even when he was with the Rockers, you saw talent. And he left Marty Jannetty in the dust, which is a shame. But you saw talent with him, and you saw everything that you wanted in a wrestler. And you saw everything you wanted. He was charismatic. He got the ladies. He did it all. And while his finisher, the Sweet Chin Music, is a pretty lame finisher when you get down
great
to
finisher.
It. Okay, it's kick a guy in the face. Yeah. But that's why. Number five.
Number five. Oh, fuck.
Oh, he just had a stroke.
Number five, I got to go. Again, this is tough, the order, but I'm putting The Rock at number five on my list.
Low.
Yeah, again, when you're rating guys, it's tough. I love The Rock. He excites me, but there are other guys who I think have done more for me as a fan than The Rock, and I'll get there. I'm not a huge fan of The Rock personally.
Okay.
I'm a fan of The Rock when he wrestles, but he too is so gimmicky, especially now when he comes back, that I put him number five.
This one is purely on character only. Psycho Sid Vicious.
Oh, gosh.
I loved that character. That character was so, and remember when Sid broke his leg?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like my chair just snapped?
Oh, it was wild.
Yeah,
Psycho Sid, the best power bomb ever.
Yeah,
it was the best powerbomb next to Adam Bomb, who doesn't get a lot of credit as one of the better Kevin Nash.
He's dead. I think Adam
Bomb. Kevin Nash's powerbomb sucks, but
it was a jackknife.
Number five, Psycho Sid. Number four.
I'm gonna go Mick Foley.
He didn't make it.
And I'm gonna go. I'm going all the
all
characters. I'm throwing them all in. You're talking about a guy who laid it on the line all the time. No matter what character he did, he got them over. Mick Foley on the mic, in the ring, great guy, Mick Foley.
My number four is probably higher on your list. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Stone Cold Steve Austin changed it all, changed everything about wrestling. The Attitude Era was, you might as well just call it the Stone Cold Era, because it was so good. The beer truck, the fight with Booker T in the supermarket, the fight with McMahon in the hospital. I mean, it was promo-centric, heavy. Steve Austin was a great wrestler, too. Even when it was with the Hollywood Blondes with Pillman, great wrestler. And I wish I could have put Pillman on this list, but I couldn't. Number three.
Number three, I'm going The Undertaker. Just because the man has done it for so long, been one of the most consistent characters. I loved him as a kid. I believed he was a dead man. I always loved the character. I met him once, and he was actually a really nice guy.
Yeah, I heard that.
Paul Bearer, total dick.
I
met him twice.
Percy, dead.
Yeah, well, only the good died dead.
Yeah.
I go The Undertaker, and he's still doing it. He just made a return. I think he's on his final run to The Undertaker number three.
My number three is The Rock. What are you doing?
Breaking news, Joakim Noah is out due to illness.
Oh, he's probably just sick.
Yeah.
Generally
what illness is.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was saying.
My number three is The Rock.
Number three is The Rock.
Number three is The Rock. The Nation of Domination Rock might be my favorite, when he was Rocky Maivia, might be my favorite rock. Afterwards, I mean, the matches with Mick Foley were some of the best.
Yep.
The matches with Stone Cold were pretty good. The Rock has it all. I don't like Hollywood Rock. I don't care for all that shit. But, and he's a really nice guy, it seems like. He's really genuine. I enjoyed his matches. I'm going with number three, The Rock. Number two.
Number two, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay.
Again, the guy revolutionized the business. There's nobody you would rather be on certain days in this world,
yeah,
to this day,
yeah,
than Stone Cold, yeah, Steve Austin. You come to work, you say whatever the hell you want, you kick your boss's ass, and you drink a beer in the ring.
That's right.
There was nobody like him. And, you know, we will see somebody like him eventually because that's the way it goes. But Stone Cold doesn't get credit, I agree with you, for how good he was in the ring. His matches with Bret Hart were great. He was good tactically, too. Stone Cold, number two.
My number two. Woo!
Yeah.
The Nature Boy! Yeah. Ric Flair. Did it all. Did it all. 70s, 80s, 90s. Did it all. Puts an elbow down on his suit jacket and made it, yeah, funny.
Yeah.
Made it believable. Stripped down to his underwear because he really believes that he's Ric Flair.
Well, and
like,
my,
he really believes.
So Flair's not on my list, and that's a shame.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's great. But
the promos.
My favorite promo is when he stripped down to his underwear, he handcuffed himself to the rope and said, if you go to commercial and you shut that camera off, when you come back, I'll be naked. And I believed that he would have been.
You thought his head, you know, would just explode at any point.
And
the, my favorite promo is the old NWA wrestling, the $6,000 leather shoes,
yeah, yeah,
he takes them off. Girls, if you want to ride Space Mountain.
And he would always point to somebody in a fat, shut your mouth, fat boy. And you never
so
knew who he was
good.
Talking to.
So good.
I'll give you my number one.
Go ahead.
The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. Just the
I
man.
Understand.
The greatest in-ring performer we've ever seen. I think the greatest character through and through, because I think there were tons where you couldn't separate Shawn Michaels
from Shawn
Michaels, Hickenbottom,
yeah,
the real guy. Mm. I just think he's...
Higginbottom?
He's Shawn Michael Hickenbottom is his name.
Hickenbottom.
Yeah, he was the best. I mean, you know, that's... I used to literally in church on Sundays pray before pay-per-views that Shawn Michaels would win.
That was
my level of dedication.
I used to pray that my father would buy me an extra... egg and cheese at White Castle. I didn't pray for things that, you know. And
I didn't
then he
know
did.
It was scripted.
And
then Shawn Michaels won.
Okay.
So we both, God was on our side.
My number
Who's
one.
Who's your number one?
The Undertaker.
Yeah.
The greatest, in my opinion, the greatest character ever. When you heard that bell, when you saw the lights go out, man, I was scared shitless. And I scared shitless. Go. Talk.
Yeah, Jason, you remember when you had your wrestling buddies?
Yes, I do.
I had them.
I do. I used to put on hardcore matches all the time.
Yeah, you used to flip, bounce off the bed, jump off mom and dad's dresser.
Yeah,
I still do some of those moves in the bedroom.
Good. Yeah, I'm silent but deadly. Okay. So yeah,
Undertaker
number one.
The one person I feel really remiss that I didn't put on this list.
I couldn't put Bret Hart.
Is Bret Hart?
Yeah, I couldn't put Bret Hart on this list.
Didn't put Bret Hart on this list.
I love Bret Hart.
Loved Bret Hart. Loved him as a kid. Guy's a real piece of shit.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right.
He's one of the most bitter human beings
in
the world.
I think he's got a right to be, sort of, with the Montreal Screwjob. That was some tough shit. But
read his book.
No. Regardless, Linda, NFL week, whatever it is, let's go. Oh, while she's looking that up, Manchester United played Arsenal yesterday, a 1-1 draw. We really should have won that game. But Marcus Rashford got down on the wing, shouldn't have played the wing, the right side. Defense wasn't where it needed to be yesterday. We controlled the ball for most of the game. It was fucking amazing.
Actually,
it was fucking...
We had possession for the first half of the majority.
Go, talk.
Oh, I think it's Jonathan.
Hey, Jason?
Yeah, you've called. This is, yes, you've called the hotline.
Joe, how are you?
How you feeling?
I'm doing well. I've been really enjoying your podcast here.
Thank you.
I've gotten a lot of laughs out of it, and I've enjoyed it too. You guys have been very informative, but I wanted to throw in my two cents, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, so, yeah.
It's not worth much, but I would say, and you know, Jason's known me a long time, so he's probably not surprised when I say this, but one guy that continues to, you know, still be one of my favorites is Y2J, Chris Jericho. And the reason I say that is evolution. The guy just keeps evolving. It just amazes me that he started off as this nappy-head guy, like back at WCW, came out and was a real pain in the ass to even superstars like Goldberg, you know, he transfers over to WWE. He's still kind of that way, but he had to sort of mature into their style. And then for so many years, you know, he did that kind of shtick. Then he became serious. Then, as, you know, soon as so recently as today, he's, you know, talking about putting people on lists. And
yeah, I think the amount of stuff that he's gotten over that other people would get laughed off television for is incredible. I love Y2J.
Jonathan, we love you. We only got 3 minutes. Yeah. Thank you for the call, brother. Okay, so Rashford didn't play defense the right way. Let that goal in the 87th minute on the head. The Oxlade-Chamberlain lobbed
Giroux.
Olivier Giroud. See, if Arsene Wenger, who I call asshole banger, would have played Oxlade-Chamberlain instead of Carl Jenkinson, you would have won that game. And there's no doubt about it. Carl Jenkinson's a piece of shit.
Okay.
Piece of shit.
NFL.
Week 11.
NFL.
Week NFL.
You know what I like about the fact that
no.
we stayed in that game?
Yeah. Did you?
We stood
in that game, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we made a mistake. You didn't stay in that game. You got lucky. You got lucky, and you know it. And it should have been a penalty. It should have been a penalty on Jenkinson. It should have been a penalty on Jenkinson.
Jonathan, I couldn't agree more with you about Y2J.
It should have been a penalty on Jenkinson for yanking Valencia back when he was in the box, and you know it. Yeah, please. And that yellow card on Darmian was bullshit, and you know it. 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 Week 11.
Exchanging glances.
Buffalo at Cincinnati?
Yes.
What do you got?
Can you read spreads too?
Oh, dear.
I think the spread's about 3.5. I'm going Cincinnati.
Buffalo.
Pittsburgh at Cleveland.
Next.
No, we're not doing
Pittsburgh. Well, Pittsburgh. It's Pittsburgh.
Can you have spreads? Do you have spreads?
Yeah, hold on. Sorry. Oh, ESPN's acting stupid.
God.
Wait, I feel asleep.
Well, it's because you're wearing hobo gloves.
8.5.
No, 6.
Pittsburgh, 8.5.
You're a puppet.
Making a joke about my dick.
Yeah.
Go.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Okay. Ravens at Cowboys. Dallas gives 7.5.
Cowboys.
Tough game. I'm telling you, this is my weekly trap game. Be careful.
Okay.
Ravens in this game. You know why? Because they questioned Joe Flacco's heart.
Cowboys are going to blow him out by 20. Go ahead.
Okay. Jaguars at Lions. Detroit gives 6.5.
Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit took Lions.
Titans at Colts. Indianapolis gives 2.5.
Titans. Marcus Mariota is having a great year. I'm wrong. Going to be wrong about Marcus Mariota. Go ahead.
Bills at Bengals. Cincinnati.
You did that already.
I'm still going Bengals.
I'm still going to the Bengals.
Buccaneers.
Bills.
No, you said. Hi, Bill.
Buccaneers at Chiefs. Kansas City gives 7.
Confusing game. I think the Buccaneers can beat the Chiefs.
I agree.
Bears at Giants. Giants give 6.5.
Giants.
Didn't take the game. Don't think they're going to cover. Think they're going to win, not cover.
You think they're going to only win by like 3?
I do.
Bears stink. Giants.
Cardinals at Vikings. Minnesota gives 1.5.
Cardinals.
Yeah.
Minnesota's got real problems right now. Yeah.
No, I took the Vikings. My best bet of the week.
Cardinals.
Dolphins at Rams. Miami gives 1.5.
Dolphins. Jared Goff's first start.
Dolphins. Which could be great, but I went Dolphins.
It's going to be a bad one. They're going to come after him.
He's a puppet.
All right.
Patriots at
hurry up.
Patriots at 49ers. New England gives 12.5.
Patriots by 36.5.
Didn't touch that game. 49ers surprised everyone last week and made me some money.
Not going to happen.
Eagles at Seahawks. Seattle gives 6.5.
Seattle.
Packers at Redskins. Washington gives 3.
Who cares?
Packers.
I took the Packers.
Texans at Raiders for the Monday night game.
Wow.
Oakland gives 6.
Another one of those sleepy Monday nights. Raiders.
Tough game.
No, it's not. The Raiders are going to destroy the Texans.
I don't know about that.
I honestly think Jay Cutler is going to play a lot better. He's playing for his next contract.
Yep.
A lot of people have Jay Cutler being a backup next year somewhere. I'm still on the Jay Cutler boat. I would like Jay Cutler. I would like Tony Romo. I would like you to go get your pets neutered and spayed. And if Bob Barker's out there listening, you leathery old bastard, you son of a bitch.
He's a puppet.
Is the Price Is Right? No. This country's going to hell. Help us, Lord. Help us.